As Catholic Christians, we believe that Jesus said what he meant and meant what he said. In the early church, there was no division among Christendom. Faith in the real presence of Jesus was strong. And it led to the devotion of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And it led to devotion of reserving the sacrament for two reasons in the early church. Two reasons. Reserving the sacrament, a place for the sacrament to dwell. Tabernacle is a word that means dwelling or dwelling place. First, for the sick, especially for those who were dying, that they could receive the Holy Sacrament as part of their entrance into eternity. Second, for those who were in prison, especially those facing martyrdom, that they could be strengthened by the real presence of Christ in the Holy Sacrament. Now, with time, devotion of Jesus in the sacrament becomes even more robust and strong in the life of the church. And additional devotional practices, not merely reserving the sacrament for the sick and for those in prison, particularly facing death, for their faith, but also adoration begins to become more and more of a practice of the community of the faithful, both private and public. It seems like every year when we celebrate Corpus Christi, the Lord just places in my heart this memory. Many, many years ago now, I was in a hospital chaplaincy training program. I happened to be participating in one at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. There was a day when I was invited by one of the Protestant Christian chaplains who was a full-time employee, full-time minister, happened to be a Baptist, or identified himself as a Baptist. And he invited me to join him to pray at bedside, and they were going to celebrate communion. And I'm not sure I went for the best of reasons. I was kind of intrigued, because in my class in the seminary, I thought that we learned that Baptists don't do this. So I was kind of intrigued by this and joined the Baptist minister. Happened to be a patient who was critically ill, happened to be a spouse, and it was just the four of us praying. And he had very small little plastic cups. Inside of each was a very modest, small amount of grape juice. And there was bread. And he prayed, not unlike what we heard from Mark's gospel, Jesus' own words of institution, the words at the Last Supper. And then they shared in the communion. And then he took what was left. There was a little nightstand next to the hospital bed, right there, and just pushed it right into the trash can. And I almost jumped out of my skin. Wow. I mean, they were going to have to code me in that moment. I wasn't expecting that. No explanation. And so I, fortunately, thanks be to God, there was just enough grace to keep my mouth closed in that moment. And then once we got out of the hall, I had the opportunity to share with him my reaction. And at first, I think he was a little surprised at the intensity. But fortunately, just a wonderful Christian man who was able to help guide me into It's just a meaningful conversation, you know? There was no disrespect at all from their vantage point. In fact, it was a beautiful prayer that we all shared together, but a very different understanding of the meaning of communion or the meaning of Eucharist. Very different understanding. One that was solely rooted in it being symbolic or representative, but nothing literal at all. A stark contrast for those of us who hail from the Catholic Christian tradition, where we hold that it looks like bread and it looks like wine, but there's a moment in our worship when it is totally and completely changed into the glorified body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. When we approach the Lord, we do so knowing that we're always unworthy and that we are encountering no less than the divine presence. No less than that. That's why we do well to make our way with intentionality. This is nothing for us to just go through the motions or merely follow the person in front of us, but to really be considering the fact that Christ Jesus himself is so anticipating that moment of encounter with every single one of us. We don't dare approach Holy Communion as a reward for a week well lived. We don't dare reduce the Holy Sacrament to a commodity. We don't dare have a right to ever receive it. We're always unworthy, as the Church herself makes sure we remind ourselves with our prayer right before Holy Communion. Lord, I am not worthy. Just to give us the last opportunity to be focused on the privilege that is before us. And with that privilege, when we approach the Lord in the right disposition, comes a power that's not of our making, but of God's glorious design. For it's his great desire that his holy presence floods our entire body, our mind, our heart, our soul, and that it even goes forth from that. That we are animated or motivated or empowered as disciples to transmit this divine presence that we have received to those whom we encounter out there. In fact, he's expecting that of us. And we're expecting that of each other. Because it's hard out there. It's easy to forget this supreme truth. And so we rely on each other for encouragement and support, prayerful remembrance, maybe exhortation at times, to be more and more and more of who it is that we are so immensely privileged to receive. Let's stand and profess our gift of faith. I believe in one God.